Bring your warm Christian greetings this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who was willing to pay the penalty for our sins there on Calvary's cross, that we might be set free. We can never thank him enough for what he has done for us, but we need to live for him day after day. I'm going to talk about something this evening that everyone would like to have. Many are spending a lot of money, working hard, and trying in many ways to find it. And it's offered all if we go to the right source to find it. And that is peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, peace is something, like I say, I believe everybody is seeking after. They're wanting peace. They're wanting satisfaction. What is the opposite of peace? I say the opposite of peace is unrest, it's disturbance, it's violence. And when we think of peace, we ought to practice it every day in our lives with those we come in contact with those we deal with, and even with those who maybe don't agree with us. We need to practice peace with everyone. And what we think of sometimes when we think of peace is pertaining, we think of pertaining to war, maybe conscientious objectors and those of non-resistance. You know, the plain people, Christian people, are peace-loving people. Peace with our fellow men. Psalm 34:14 says, "Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good." What do you do when you pursue something? You go after it, don't you? You put forth an effort to find it. And he says that we're to seek peace and we're to pursue it. We're to go after it. And that's something without that peace in our heart. We can't, I believe, fully worship the Lord as we ought to worship him. Someone asked what just comes to my mind now some time ago in prayer meeting, I believe, what is the opposite of faith? And I said the opposite of faith is the absence of fear. If we have faith enough, we don't fear. And I think if we have that faith, we can have that peace within our hearts, a peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live. We sing that many times, and I like that song, like peace. Peace with our enemies. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Also, Psalm 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up," what is the last word there?
Anger.
Anger, you got it, thank you. You know, there's so many today that are so easily hurt, it seems, and you have to be careful. Someone, you've heard the expression already, handle them with kid gloves. But if we really seek peace and pursue it, and we seek for peace with our fellow men, peace in the home, peace in the church, and I was going to say peace in the nation. We would want that, but that's something that's never going to fully happen until Christ sets up his millennial kingdom. Men are going to be at odds with each other. Proverbs 20:3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know, if there's someone that's not getting along, if there's anything we can do to help them, that is an obligation that we ought to take seriously and try to help along. And like I said there, seek peace and pursue it. Go after it and do all that we can to have peace among the brethren and peace among the neighbors and wherever it is. You know, I pray so often for the neighbors at home. We have good neighbors around us, but there's few of them that would be ready for the Lord to return. They're good neighbors, but they just don't know the Lord as their Savior. And we pray for them often and try to find opportunities where we can witness to them. And we just ask the Lord to guide us day by day in that manner of life. Jeremiah 29:7 says, "And seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captive." That's referring to when they were captive, and he said even those that are carried away captive, they're supposed to seek peace with those. It says, "And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." You know, if the family, if one of our family doesn't have peace, we can't really have the rest and the peace that we ought to have in our hearts. And we ought to try to help everyone to get along with each other and try to help each other. If I were to give you a title for this little message this evening, I would call it "Peace in a Troubled World." We live in a troubled world, and there's all kinds of anger and mistrust and all in the world. But if we can show the world that we have a peace which passeth understanding, then they should want the same thing. Many of them would and many of them wouldn't. Everyone, I believe, desires peace, but they try to gain it through strife, nation with nation. Groups in the cities, rival groups and others. You know, there was a time, and maybe is yet some places, where the colored feel if they can conquer the white, they'll have peace. You know, Moses, when he was trying to make peace among his brethren, he tried to do it by force, and it didn't work. He had to flee the country. And I believe if we have that desire in our heart to find peace, I believe the Lord is going to show it to us, and we're going to have that peace within our hearts. We find many things in this 12th chapter of Romans. Wondered what I might have read to go along with this thought of peace. But there's many ways there to promote peace with our fellow men, with the brethren, peace with the enemies, working for peace among others. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." That's what we want to be, and that's what we are. If we're peacemakers, and we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Here it tells us many things in Romans 12, just to look at a few of them. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dear to beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." In other words, if someone does something against you and it irritates you, don't try to solve the problem yourself. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." There we should return, you know, to return good for evil, and take it to the Lord in prayer. When we have a problem, cast our cares on him, for the scripture says that he careth for us. It says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If we're going to take things in our own hands and try to set someone straight that we think are not treating us like we should, we're better off to do good to that person and overcome evil with good. And that's the only way I believe that we really can overcome evil. Thinking of peace, I always think of the peace we have through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we really have peace in our hearts, I believe. Have Christ living within our hearts. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Until we make our peace with him, we really don't have the peace with God, because it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can have that peace. Colossians 1, 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What does it mean to be reconciled? I believe it means to be brought back into a right relationship again. And if we're reconciled with him, we can have that peace which passeth understanding. Have you ever had a peace when things were going seemingly the wrong way, and you have a peace in your heart that you really can't understand how you have that peace? I've had that experience already. Some things that come along that are really hard, but still we can have that peace which passeth understanding. This faith and this peace is necessary in order to live out the teaching in Romans 12. We can't recompense good for evil and so on if we don't have that peace and really trying to honor God in our everyday life, whatever it might be. John 14:27 says, "My peace I give unto you." Peace of God. He says, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I live with you." I don't have that quite like it should be. I believe maybe I have. "Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You don't have a lot of peace if you have fear, do you? If you're afraid of something, it's not very peaceable. But if we are in a right relationship with God, then we can have that peace within our hearts and we don't need to be afraid. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace which passeth all understanding. Like I said, a peace that we really don't know how we have it at a time like when we have that peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I heard of I don't remember if this was something that someone told me, that they witnessed this in a testimonial meeting. You know, it used to be that, I don't know if it was so much here in our congregation, but they would have a testimonial meeting before when the service started, and different ones would get up and give a testimony of something that they had experienced or something that they were glad for. And some lady got up, and this is all she said. She said, "I'm thankful to God for a deep-seated peace." That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? That's quite a testimony. If we can have that deep-seated peace, be thankful to God for that. Job says in the 22nd chapter, verse 21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby shall good come unto you, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto the Almighty." You know, if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we're going to look into his word, we're going to have that peace which passeth understanding, and to delight ourselves in the Lord reminds me of Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know, when I think of that, the ungodly, there's more people And the Bible bears us out on this. There's more people going to perish than there are going to be saved. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. The other one says, and few be that go in there. So we want to be, we sing still, Lord, I want to be among that number when the saints go marching in. I think everyone here tonight would want to be among that number when the saints go marching in. But if you want to be among the number when the saints go marching in, you're going to have to be marching with the saints while here on this earth. We're going to have to be marching along. We sing too, we're marching on to Zion, that beautiful city of God. And if we have that in our aim, our ambition, we're going to have that peace and that joy which the Lord wants every one of us to have. Job says in the 22nd chapter, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby shall good come unto you, for then thou shalt have the delight in thy Almighty and shalt lift up thy face unto the Almighty. Luke in the 21st chapter speaks of the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem. Tells of the many things which will happen. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He here also speaks of the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled, and I believe that time is very near for us today. When we see these things come to pass, we're not to be troubled. We're to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. And I've said already, and possibly said it from the pulpit here, I believe as close as it's coming, and we see the things around us, I believe we ought to finish our prayers with, even so come, Lord Jesus. What better could happen even tonight than for the Lord to come? But if we're to face tomorrow, we want to face it with that peace, knowing that God is in control. You know, we hear people sometimes complain about the dry weather, in the spring about the wet weather. And I just don't worry about either one of them. God's in control. And I don't care who I talk to. I say to them still, I'm glad we don't have anything to do with that, because you and I wouldn't agree on it. And not too many two people that would. One's going to want one thing and somebody else is going to want the other. But when God's in control, there's nothing really gets out of control. He's promised to supply our needs. And if we rely on that promise, we don't have anything really to be disturbed about. Peace in a troubled world. Job 34:29. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? You know, it says, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? If he gives us that quietness, then there really nobody that can make us trouble, is it? I want to turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. I have that wrote down here and see what we can find there. Luke 21, I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in different places, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. It says here, it shall turn to you for a testimony. And I have written in my Bible here, for an opportunity. I believe here it says for a testimony. We have that opportunity when these things are coming to pass to remind others of what it's really leading up to, and it gives us an opportunity to warn others. When I think of having a peace that passeth understanding, share with you something that a brother from Canada, I believe it was, Brother E.J. Swallum, years ago, they had a Bible conference up at Moments, and this man was a conscientious objector, I believe, in World War I. Now, that's been a long time ago when I was a boy. He was an old man. But he told us of some experiences that he had, and I think it's well worth sharing. He said that he was a conscientious objector, and they had him living in some kind of a dungeon or a cellar. I don't know if they didn't have any clothes or very few clothes, and it was cold down there, and they'd bring them out every once in a while and offer them the uniform, the soldier's uniform, and they'd reject it. And the one man said to him one time, he said, "You boys are crazy." He said, "You're not even afraid to die." And then he quoted 1 Timothy 1:7, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, he said it seemed like that verse was put in there just for him at that time. And that's a warning to us. If we can memorize a lot of scripture, and so when the time comes, maybe we won't have our Bible in our hand, but if we can memorize some of that scripture and call it to our mind, it's going to do good for always. Told him they were crazy. They weren't afraid. Didn't give them a spirit of fear. Another question this guard asked him. He said, "If you were married and your wife was no Christian, and someone would break into your house and they're going to kill your wife, and by killing them, you could save her life and she'd become a Christian later on," he said, "wouldn't you think you'd done the right thing?" Kind of a hard question, huh? He said, "In the first place, your case is all supposition. In the second place, I'm not married. And in the third place, if I ever marry, I'll marry a Christian." So pretty well had him stopped, didn't he? You know, I believe that we ought to be careful as younger people. It's good to marry Christians and live peaceably together. And I know there's times when others are brought into the kingdom, and this is good, but I often pray many times that the young people would be prompted to make the choice for a life companion. Ask the Lord to lead you to the one that he wants you to marry, and he'll never lead you astray. But if we just cast our cares on him, don't be over anxious, but if we have that peace of knowing that the time's going to come when he's going to lead us in the way that we ought to go, and if we're willing to go, you know, we sing, "Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way." And if we sing it and mean it, there's a great reward in it. But if we don't mean it, he knows that as well. And we would know it too if we see they're not really following in that way. I guess there's much more could be said tonight here on having a peace which passeth understanding. I said about all I'm going to say here tonight. It's a privilege to speak on the Word of God. And you know, we can talk about this peace, we can talk about this joy, but others can tell if we have it, can't they? If we're going to complain about this and that and the other thing, we're not going to be at peace with our neighbors, our family, or whoever. We just don't have that peace. And I trust that we all can have that peace which passeth understanding. And if we ask the Lord for it and really mean business, I'll put it that way, he's going to give it to us. But he knows when we ask if this is what we want, if we're willing to give what it takes to have it. May the Lord bless you.